First, we will reflect briefly on God's word from the Acts of the Apostles. As you know, immediately after the resurrection, the apostles, especially Peter and John, begin to do extraordinary things. It started off with healing of a crippled man as they were going into the temple for the 9 o'clock morning prayer. And they saw this crippled man, and they looked into his face. He was expecting some form of monetary gifts, but he says to Peter and John, says, "We don't have that, but what we have is what we wish to share with you. In the name of Jesus the Nazarene, walk." And the crippled man got up and walked. It stirred up all kinds of emotions, not only in the man who was healed, because he became extremely excited, happy, and grateful. He just clung on to Peter and John. He was with them. But then other people saw him, and he was right in front of the Jerusalem temple, in the temple area, and so became attracted to that. And so Peter gave witness about this Jesus who was rejected, who died, but also rose from the dead, and that in his name and through his power, extraordinary things happen. And so they gave witness to that. Because of what they did, they were arrested for commotion, you know, arrested by the high priests and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. They were put into jail. But then the angel frees them from jail. They were supposed to have a hearing the next morning, but they're not there. They're not in jail. They found them that they're again preaching in front of the Jerusalem temple, doing extraordinary things. And then the Sadducees, the high priests, they arrest them again. And as you'll hear in the future, they say, "Why are you doing this? Why are you preaching the name of this Nazarene? You want to accuse us that we were the ones who condemned him to death." They were very angry with the apostles. They also say, "Why are you preaching the name in his name? That he's the one who's risen and resurrected from the dead." And of course, the Sadducees did not believe in resurrection, so they felt that the apostles were teaching everything that they did not, and they were performing these extraordinary signs. But from that moment on, as we know, the Lord, who gave them the power, received the Holy Spirit, received the power not only to forgive sins, but to also to do extraordinary things in his name, the apostles began to manifest the power of Jesus in them, the power of Jesus which is also in us. You know, every bishop is able to expel demons from people who are afflicted by that. The power is still with us. The power to make the bread and wine into body and blood of Christ. The power to forgive sins. So the power that the Lord gave us and trusted to us is still active, is still here with us. It is God's love that is manifested in Jesus. God's love so great, as we read in the gospel, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may have life, life eternal." There are many, many scriptural quotes which speaks of this incredible love that God has for us. As you remember, John says, you know, God is love. And whoever loves is of God. God is love. We have not only John 3:16, but also Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This verse emphasizes the sacrificial nature of Jesus' love, as he willingly gave his life for us, for humanity. We say in our creed, it says, "For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. For us and for our salvation, he died. He embraced the cross and rose from the dead." John, in 1 John's letter, chapter 4, we see this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Again, in John 15, we hear, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. In St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, we read, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead to transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It is this quote, God, who is rich in mercy, became the very foundation of St. John Paul II's encyclical on mercy. Rich in mercy, this is the quote that John Paul wished to initiate his encyclical on God's mercy and love. There's no greater love. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, and even when we were dead in transgression, it is by grace you have been saved. Christianity, the whole Judeo-Christian tradition, speaks of God as love. And this love that God has for us is absolute. It is unconditional. There is no condition in that love. So this is what we have. First of all, that our belief is founded on God's love for us, that is without anything, is not based on our actions and our worthiness, but it's unconditional. He loves us. He absolutely loves us. And we can look at ourselves and he says, how is it possible for us that God will love us? We look at ourselves and we see our own weaknesses, our problems, difficulties. And yet it is true that he loves us, loves each one of us, that we are precious in his eyes. We're beautiful in his eyes, even despite our brokenness, because he can deal with our brokenness by his mercy, by the gift of merciful love. He can heal, he can restore. But the fact is that he loves us unconditionally. The second, we can speak of, why does God love us? Because he made us. We are his children. Just like every parent, no matter what, there's that type of love, especially fatherly love, motherly love, that knows no bounds. And that this love is the very foundation of our relationship with God. There's no other. That's the foundation. It's just like the foundation of love between spouses is love. The foundation between spouses, which makes family, a family unit, is love, caring for each other, looking after the good of one another, protecting from evil, helping to grow, nourish. But there's also another dimension of that love, it's a redeeming love. God wants us to be redeemed because we are broken, we are sinful. And so that love, we speak of that as merciful love. God, who stoops down to us, wants to rescue us from the misery of our own making or others making or the brokenness, which is a consequence of the original sin. But it is also love. It's a compassionate and protective love. He wants to not only reach out to us in compassion, but he wants to also protect us from the consequences of our own lack of love, the evil tendencies. He wants us to rescue us so that he may take us home to heaven. And ultimately, all purpose, for this type of love is our fulfillment. God made us for love, and this is why we're prone for love, to be loved. And also we long to be loved, accepted. We can speak of other terms of love, acceptance, being understood, being forgiven, being cared for. There's also the other side of that love, is that we are to be loving. To be loving, to be like God, which means is that as He loved us, so we are to love one another. As He cared for us, we are to care for one another. As He was compassionate and merciful, we are to be compassionate and merciful to one another. That's a sign of that love we have for one another. It is the type of love that is to be also unconditional. We cannot say, yes, because you were kind to me, therefore I'm kind to you. If God's love is unconditional for us, should our love be conditioned? Or should it be, we should strive to love? Because a person is a person, despite the brokenness of that person which we see. And that is that love that heals the other, that heals. I think that if we're to look at a love also means sharing the good news. Because we want people to also come to know the Father's love, the great love He has for us to share, to remind, yes, you have wandered off, you have been not faithful, but God is there waiting for you. It's like the encyclical of Divine Mercy, the prodigal father waiting for the son to come and wishing to restore him to the full dignity. It is also love that invites us to pray for one another. So prayer becomes love. If love, actions, works of mercy are not able to reach out because we are not able to do so, then prayer becomes that sign of love. Obviously, we are invited always to do active love, because you know, how can we express our faith if it's not through love? And this is the invitation, faith manifested and expressed through love. Christians are to, all of us, the followers of Christ, are to love Him. Can we love Him through the Eucharist that we celebrate? And it's a type of love for the personal presence, real presence of Jesus. We can love Him. When we welcome Him into our hearts, they will cherish Him. That we would not forget whom we have received, that we would allow Him to touch every cell of our body, of our mind, that we would allow Him to heal our memories, wounds of past hurts, that we invite Him to heal the brokenness of our own soul, distrust, everything that's there, the uncontrolled passions, anger, frustration, that He may touch with His love, with His presence. Because where the Lord is, there is His healing love, transforming love. So allowing Him to be within us. Gratitude is another form of love. Gratitude for God's grace, for His sacramental gifts, sacrament of penance or baptism, confirmation, sacrament of matrimony. God gives us the power to become more faithful, but we have to pray, we have to invite Him, we have to desire to share this life in that communion with Him. So what we have before us is God's love, and God's love being manifested in Jesus. The Father's love is manifested in Jesus, His presence, in His teaching, in His guidance. And His invitation is to become followers, to be like Him, to be sons and daughters like He is. And with that gift, with that transforming presence, we are being prepared for eternity to live a life of paradise, which is life of love, pure love, total love, complete love. And that means where there's love, there's happiness. Because there's no other happiness except through love. So maybe then today, as we continue with this sacred liturgy, let us ask the Lord to help us to become men and women who love, love God, love one another, and enjoy, anticipate the gifts to come. And that is the presence of Jesus when we receive him and living for all eternity in him and with all those who love, who cleanse themselves, purify themselves, sanctify themselves through his blood, through his body, so that we may share his glory, that we may be partakers of his divinity and live for all eternity with him.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.